outdoor evening concert. And the man had all of his the food that he manufactured in these canopy booths. So it was like a little mini carnival. It was food all over and drink all over. We were just supposed to play some dance music, I guess, which was not canned style. Although we gave it a shot, like singing some Ray Charles or Otis Redding type tunes, at least I did, man, with sort of a 4-4 or something rhythm to it. But we left there, and I think we took plates of meat, food, glasses, and took off for home. Paid us a couple of dollars. It was a pretty good gig. It was fun. There were some strange ones. There was another gig. I don't even know where we were. All I remember is getting in Holger's bus and traveling somewhere. And when we got there, it was like being in a big barn. And we played, I don't know, maybe 20 minutes. And then we joined the party.
That was it.
That was it. Strange, but overall, the biggest thing that happened to us, I think, well, besides the film music, I think at that time we did a few films. But the biggest thing happened when we went to Switzerland, which was near the end of my stay with the camp, and everything came down on me in Switzerland. First of all, Switzerland, I think, is probably the cleanest place on earth, other than I won't call it sterile, but it gets close to that. Nice, beautiful countryside. Beautiful. But we arrived in Switzerland, I think, in June of '69. Played 3 months for this theater piece. And this is the first time that we had organized, because of the theater, the pieces that were supposed to run along with the play. After that, after every concert, I mean theater performance, we would play a free concert, and we just had improvise throughout that whole time. Now, being completely involved in the fact that, for me, being completely involved in the fact of the music at that time, not the electronics, just the music. What I mean by electronics, I don't mean synthesizers or wah-wah pedals or distortion boxes. I mean the recording of this material.
Right.
I don't know if any of that was recorded. I have no idea. But I think we played 36 performances. Every night, maybe 36.
This was in Switzerland?
Yeah. Now, I can be corrected on this because I'm not really sure,
yeah.
But...
every evening?
No.
36
no.
Total?
Yeah, for 3 months, but I think 36 performances during 3 months or something. And a couple of children's matinees or something.
And were these all performed in the same place?
Yeah, this was performed at the Schauspiel House, I think that's what they call it. Switzerland, I remember.
Okay, and so after this period was when you finally had to leave or left the group?
Yeah, I...
What's the true story about why you left?
Why I left?
Let's condense it, okay? We don't need to go on. There's about... I went through here about four more items that I think we should hit on, okay? And let's start with why he left, and then whether you think your work, or whether you think Monster Movie and or this recent record hold up today, were they were good then, they're not good now, what's your opinion of those two records, then, you know, what have you been doing since, and whether you have any idea of doing anything musically in the future or something like that. Because this first part is going to be hard to edit.
Okay.
Because it's real stream of consciousness stuff. So basically, let's start with what brought, what happened that made you leave the group?
I got tired.
Physically tired.
Physically tired. I was getting dissatisfied with the performances. The last theater performances we were doing. I never had worked in theater before, and to repeat the same lines over and over again was a whole new thing. I felt a little bit out of place, and I think it started with the fact on opening night of this theater, at the theater, and all during that time we were in Switzerland, we were getting a lot of media. Initially started with a dispute between management and I don't know if it was the rest of the theater people or just the camp, but it was about money, which also goes back to the point where I made that statement about you owe me more money, which was published in Der Spiegel in 1969. So I had come out on stage after some, on opening night, and had said the theater is crap or shit, whatever you want to say. And I don't know if that was the basic reason that we got a lot of publicity, but I know after our opening night, which I was not used to getting any media, we're at the kiosk up in theater, and we all met there one morning. We used to eat right across the street from the theater, and we had, I don't know, four or five newspapers, Swiss, French, Italian, whatever. And they all had, they had a review of the show and us, and they had my statement. I believe they had my statement.
So is that where you sold paintings off the wall? Because you
No. This painting off the wall thing is not true. The painting off the wall thing, it was not painted.
Well, that's all right. Okay. We don't need to go into it.
That part's not.
I won't even bring it out. There was a money problem, and you weren't used to the media, and you were getting tired of the performance and the...
And I was stoned. And I had decided that I was not going to be smoking anymore.
You were going to get out of that.
Yeah. Okay. And the thing was that I used to, after each, I think during each performance, I would go out and buy a liter or two of wine and have it on stage. I drank for the whole evening. And it was no fault but my own. But one day I came to the theater and I heard group was rehearsing, Michael, Jackie, Holger, Irma were rehearsing, and I was sitting back in the back and I said, they sound pretty good without me, you know, I mean, what's the sense of being involved in the group if you don't feel like you're a part of it? So I had decided at that point, but my spending habits were bad. I don't know how much money we made to that time for this theater performance. But I had enough money, I believe, to come to New York, go home, and if I wanted to come back. And it was coming around Christmas time, and I really wanted to get back to the United States. but it was a toss between do I come back to the United States and I'm arrested for, this is during the war era, arrested for draft evasion or whatever you want to call it, or do I come back to the United States and don't think about it, you know. In fact, I have to be corrected about the draft evasion because what I found out was when I came back to the country, first of all, I was classified as 1Y, which I was only going to be in terms of emergency money. So my fears were, at that point, were completely nullified. Secondly, when I did leave the country, I should say I didn't mentally leave, I just physically left the country, I had 9 months time to send a letter stating my particular view.
Right.
Going to the draft board. So anyway, so when I heard the group, I thought they had something, you know, in fact on that album I have here, with the four of them playing, I thought they were instrumental. I thought they would be much better instrumentally than they would with the singer. My ideas of singing are a little bit different. I mean, not in terms of the can, but my, when I have to yell, you know, I feel like it's not necessary to yell.
Right.
It's either blending or counterpoint or some other harmonies going on.
So you didn't have a mental breakdown? Your parents didn't have to come rescue?
No. Not no.
You just,
so I didn't have a mental breakdown, but no. I won't say that. I will say
you just started.
When I started to stop smoking. Well, this is what happened. We went to a concert. I mean, went to a show. A guy named Ora Brookring had a show up in Dusseldorf. Then we were going to go to the museum, and we went to the museum. I think I was loaded as usual at that time. And I went in there, and Michael and I were sitting around, fooling around inside a couple of steel sculptures. There were some sculptures on the floor. And the usual routine with any museum in the world, I presume, even with new sculpture, is that it's please do not touch. Now, I've laughed at that for a long time when a piece weighs close to a ton, and I won't say there's no skill required to do these pieces, but I will say that in order to move them or destroy them, you'd have to have a bulldozer, and the guards are telling you to get, stay away. So anyway, Michael and I were, I believe Michael was in one of them, walking around when I was in one, and then all of a sudden an idea came to me. I said, well, just for the hell of it, Mal, let's see what can happen if you just try to auction off. There was, maybe 30 feet of plastic boxes with wood inside. Sort of like a, based on your boat in a bottle type thing. But they were square boxes, they were different sizes, but they had wood. And the wood probably was very well worked and everything, but for a joke, I said to somebody, I said, ma'am, how would you like to buy this piece? Now, I don't know what anybody has to say about, I know English is supposed to be the universal language. I don't know that to be a fact, but that's what I, someplace I've heard that or something. But I knew, as the, I think the German is Klein Bishop, I knew a little bit about, a little, few words in the German. So I don't know how this happened, this took place. But I said, you want to buy this? She said, oh, yeah, yeah. I said, well, write a check, you know. So give me so-and-so, give me a couple of cents, do this. I went through this whole thing, and I think, and this, I don't, there's a photograph of me at this museum, not doing this auction, but there's a photograph of me with a white sheepskin coat on, which was a friend of mine's coat. And, all of a sudden, it seemed like it was getting out of hand. I don't know. I I mean, I don't know if it was me or the crowd or both, but people had given me, I think probably a total of about 50 cents total American dollars. I can't say any more than that. Wish I did, wish I could. But I told Herman that about sending the money back also, and I said, I want more money. Now, at that time, somewhere in there, I had thought I deserved more money for some reason. I'm not too sure what it was. It wasn't directed so much. This is also, I think it's possibly a sight thing, but I think it wasn't directed so much toward the museum as it was directed to my irresponsibility of my own money at that time, which was, I had made this money in Switzerland, and I think I had spent most of it by the time this is about September, October, and I had never really had any money, at least doing something like that, doing music. So anyway, we go back to Cologne, back in Cologne, and I'm downtown. I don't know who I'm with, either with Jackie or somebody I'm with, and then Gert Dudek, some other people down in the place downtown, sort of a coffee shop. And I think Gert hands me the Spiegel. And I look in the Spiegel, and there's a picture of me in there. Now, thinking that I am supposed to be whatever I am, thinking that I'm running away, to see my picture in the paper is like a shock to me. And not only is it a shock to me at that time, but I look at it, and it's in the culture section, or C-U-L-T-U-R, which I don't know what that was translated in German. It might be the same thing, but there I am. And not knowing any German, I mean, enough to read this article, I sort of, I don't know, either I flipped out at that time, because the only thing I remember is, which I can't understand, is I was drinking something, I don't need coffee or something. And I remember after I drank the coffee, I got dizzy, very dizzy. And I really thought, at that point, I thought that somebody had doped me. You know, it's maybe psychiatry would call it paranoia. But maybe psychiatrist would call it paranoia, or whoever was dealing with me would call it paranoia. But I really felt like I had been drugged. And I'd never been drugged before, so how can I say that's an experience? But so I walked, I was staggered, I sort of staggered outside, and I sat down. There's a fire hydrant that was out in front of this place, and I sat on this fire hydrant. And from this point on, it becomes vague, because I know Ehrman had mentioned that we were somewhere in this time frame, in the fall, winter of 69, Ehrman had mentioned we were going to play in Hamburg. And I believe we were supposed to play Christmas Eve or New Year's Eve at, I don't know why this always sticks in my mind, but at a sort of the Emmy Awards in Germany or something. Everybody else is going to say, if it's not true, this is what I believe. So when I was stopped smoking, not only cigarettes, but I had stopped smoking marijuana. I had stopped drinking. I had a girlfriend coming from Switzerland who was going to live with me. I had no money. I was supposed to move new concert was supposed to be coming up. Plus, we were supposed to be, we had met a guy in, I don't know how we met this guy, Abby Ofram. And Abby Ofram, in my opinion, when I met him, I just didn't like him. Maybe it's just managerial position, or maybe it was just that I mean, I felt strange dealing with him. So, this had been some time ago. Anyway, somewhere in that vicinity, some contracts had come. And I don't know if these contracts, this is another vague one, I don't know if these contracts were from record, no, from what I gathered, they were not from record companies, they were a contract between the Can and Abby Ofram. But I'm not sure. Talking about a 3-year contract at 2%, 3% per person. This is all I can, it was in German. So I said, I can't sign this. I don't even know what we're dealing with here. That's what I thought I said. I don't know. So, I don't know. So I was in bed, I think. I stayed in bed, I don't know how many days I stayed in bed. In the meantime, I think I moved. There was a new building complex being built, right? Maybe about a quarter of a mile from in view of where I was staying at the time. And I moved in there. Michael and I were supposed to live there together. And I'm trying to figure out, where is the money coming from for me to live in this building? I mean, I don't know anything about what's going on with this. I had lived with Jackie for some time. At first, and then again some other time, and then I was in this apartment, and I didn't know where this went. So there's a lot of things were coming down at me one time. So one day I remember, and I was up in, I think this 10th or 11th or 12th floor somewhere. She came and she told me that we had somehow decided we were going to get married. This is all what I remember. And she came and she told me, we went down in this bar that was around, right around that area. And she told me that she had been fooling around with some, she was sleeping with somebody else and back home, but it's all right, don't make any difference, you know. But, and then there was another week. I said, what the hell am I doing? So I remember going to Ehrman's house and really upset. And then I went, next day I think, or a couple of days later, I went downtown. I walked, I was gonna walk from Buckleman downtown, which is about 8 miles or so, maybe more. And I went out and started walking. And it was freezing. And I had something like I have on right now. And I went out and started walking downtown. Got down where the Rosenbahn used to, I don't know if it's still in the same place now, but where it used to come out of Buckleman, where it was the end of the line. And I had started, I went down there, I mean, I must have walked about 2 or 3 miles, and there were some workers, some, what do you call them, ditch diggers, fixing the road repair. And I believe the road was cobblestone. And so I decided I'd stop and help with this road construction. I didn't, I mean, something I hadn't done before, I'll try anything. So I started working with these construction workers. I must have been there for about an hour and a half. Then I continued going downtown. When I got downtown, I remember, late in the day, I left early in the day, and I got downtown late in the day. And I was downtown, and I remember calling back to Ehrman. They said, well, we'll come get you or something. I said, no, I'll get the train back. I came, went back out there. got back to the house, got back to the place, my new place, and I had a black light in my house, which you have a black light, you have white sheets, it makes it great looking. And I just what was this all about? And it had happened to me before, and I was kind of, I told Hildegard, I said, I have to learn German. I really have to learn German while I'm here. So I believe she gave me some books on German. I took them back to the house. I was trying to study, and I could have sworn that next door, I'm really hyper to noise. I really don't like noise. And next door, I could swear I kept hearing this sounds, you know, like television. Somewhere in there, I remember just getting really, couldn't find the avenue, and I started saying to myself, you know, I had the feeling that this is really planned. I had the feeling that I was really an experiment. And I said, wow, I mean, the situation was that I figured the technology, the technology was right. I mean, Holger talked about once about creating how to increase oxygen, which would be by wiring a floor. I mean, this might be all BS in terms of scientific, but he said you can wire a floor and a ceiling and put a current into the ceiling and floor, and you can create more oxygen. And being that Holger is from that school of electronic wizardry type thing. I figured anything's possible.
That's right. That's what I said. So you were basically experiencing some kind of nervous breakdown or something.
Well, classified by like the question you asked about this, the place would take me, the hospital. I don't know if the place would take me.
So you attempted to go to the hospital or something?
Yeah, I went to this hospital for observation, because a doctor had come to the house. And the doctor came to the house and he examined me somewhere. I went on off to the hospital in Irving. And I got out there and went into this guy's office, and now, to my recollection, the guy said, Irving said to me, his name was Dr. Frankenstein.
Seriously?
Yeah. Me, anybody in their right mind who is visiting a Dr. Frankenstein is not going to stay anywhere. I don't care if he was going to accept me or not. I found it sort of, when I look back at it, I find it kind of funny, but at that time I said
goodbye.
Yeah. So I left. Herman was still in there, but I think I ran out. And I went to a post office and tried to call New York. I don't think I had any money over there. That started the point where I notified my parents that something was wrong.
And they did come over?
No.
Or they sent you money?
I don't know. I have very strange reports on. I've never been able to get that information.
So somehow you got the money to take plane back to New York.
Right.
Okay.
I've got reports that it was my late girl I was going out with. Parents gave me the money to friends and my parents, my mother and father got me back. So.
Okay. So that basically ended your experience with Cam, right?
No.
No.
Not in terms of communication. When I arrived in New York, the hospital, I received a few telegrams stating that we were supposed to appear, come back. Can you come back? Tickets at the airport. That happened 2 or 3 times. Then I said, well, forget about it.